We also watched Clifford the other night, which is a fucking funny movie with Martin Short, and he says he basically describes Clifford as his head spinning around and don't fucking throw up vomit all over me or something. Anyways.
Does Clifford throw up pea soup like the Exorcist girl?
He was telling him not to. He
Is
was
that like
like,
world peas? Thank you, Alexis.
was
What? What? Never mind.
Oh, green peas. Oh,
No,
no.
world peas.
Peas
World.
on Earth.
Yeah, visualize world peas. Okay.
Yes.
My sister has a painting that has a picture of the Earth and a bunch of peas holding hands on top of it. It says peas on Earth. Just throwing that out there.
So tell me, where does Clifford fit into the tarot? Or Clueless? Clueless, I guess, would be like the three graces.
Well, he's a child. Is there a child anywhere beyond the major arcana? I forget.
Yeah,
There's a
Horus.
red dog.
There's a red eagle. There's Anubis. Oh, you guys, something funny happened. I'm just gonna say it really quickly. Okay, so at Burning Man at the bar, I'm sitting with this woman, and I'm talking to Steve Wilner, right, earlier in the day, who was out there with me, and we were discussing, or I was talking about the pyramid on the dollar bill being Nubian, the idea that the shape of it is actually not Egyptian, and then that would explain the owl. Nubians have their own version of the owl, different from Moloch, and it actually relates to wealth and is associated with green, and that would make a lot of sense. Anyways, I'm talking to this Israeli guy about that, and this girl like interrupts me, and she's like, "Excuse me, Anubis is Greek." And I had to fucking laugh. Like, first of all, there's a giant Anubis out in the playa, like in front of us, like this huge fucking, someone built a mega Anubis, which they ended up burning. But it's a dog god, right? Associated with Sirius, and you guys know the whole score. But I thought it was funny because Anubis is Egyptian, and she, like, and I said Nubian. It was like on every level, it was completely removed. But she was like sitting on top of like the bar table, all spread out, just like she owned it. And she was all, "Excuse me, Anubis is Greek." And I don't know. I thought it was pretty priceless. Anyways.
I wish I was there, my friend.
This was Greek.
Oh, Anubis is a
The
Greek
Greek
word.
form of the Egyptian word.
Yeah.
I totally stand reflected. But still, that wasn't what I was talking about. But okay. Didn't realize that. I thought a new, like, yeah, okay. Well, that makes sense. All those things are like Hermes Trismegistus, like that's Greek, right? Like when we look at the Emerald Tablet, which is
Well,
what
I'm not sure that she knew that when she said it, but perhaps she knew it subconsciously.
Succinct. Succinct, baby.
Cool.
She was right like a broken clock.
Right.
There's a guy here at Venice Beach who just sits there, and you can go up to him, and he has this sign that says, "Why is there a pyramid on the $1 bill?" And he's a black guy, and basically his whole thing is that the Egyptians were Nubians, and that they enslaved the Jewish race, and that they should like pay penance to them. Like me and my cousin were walking by, like, "Oh, pyramid dollar bill. We should totally like quiz this guy and like just grill him with like esoteric, symbolism." And then I read this little pamphlet he's handing out, like, "Oh, that's kind of boring." But he has a whole Nubian take on that too.
Huh. Interesting.
Once again, I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah. Huh.
Huh.
Anything to add, Alexis?
Well, actually, there's a Broadway show about called Aida. It's about the Egyptians taking over the Nubians and enslaving them. I don't know. Just saying.
I think there's a synchronistic meaning in the idea of money being like mon eye, like mono eye. To have then a one-eyed symbol on the $1 bill.
Uh-huh. Yeah, don't look at the back of a $1 bill on LSD.
Don't look at anything on LSD.
Do they still make LSD? Is it still out there? I haven't seen it in a while.
They still make $1 bills?
Well, you know, that was the thing, like, when you fold the $1 bill to get the two towers, you know, it's like, that only really worked with ones from time. Do you notice that? Like, if you try it with the ones before, like before, like, 1999, or if you try it with the ones, like, after 2002, it doesn't do that effect. Where you can fold paper airplanes into the dollars, like the 1, the 5, the 10, the 20, the 100, and you end up with this disintegrating image of the towers, like that goes. That's weird. I thought that was weird enough in the first place, but the fact that you can only do it once from that time makes it extra weird.
Yeah, those bills came out like 99, 2000.
Yeah.
Because I was in Japan, and we were trying to spend them, and the Japanese were looking at them like, what's this big-headed thing? You made the worst fake money I've ever seen. And we're like, no, this is the new 5 and the new 20 or whatever.
Yeah, they're like bobbleheads.
Yeah. We got the stupidest-looking money in the world.
Yeah, everyone who talks about these things being like magical talismans, it's like, I feel like a lot of this stuff is lacking any creativity to actually make it interesting or magical. I love how, you know, Michael did a post that was basically, if the 9/11 ritual, you know, was this giant mega ritual and all this stuff, how come they didn't even spell millennium right on the Millennium Hilton?
Yo, that's just a thread, man. That's just a clue.
Leave off the last N for Nubian.
Yes.
It's a hint. It's a clue.
But who would notice that? Who in the heat of the moment, when it's all falling down and all that shit's happening, who's going to worry about one fucking letter, right?
You know, Bill, obviously you've never watched Blue's Clues. Well, but that's big. That's big, man.
I'm just saying, it's such a beautiful anomaly. I'm just saying it's a beautiful anomaly. It's like the Elvis Presley gravestone, right? He's Elvis Aaron Presley, spelled with one A, right? But yet the gravestone has two A's.
Yeah.
And it's just a nice little thread for all us heads out there to kind of, you know, spin our wheels and get a little bit crazy.
Anubis Blues Clues. Yeah, I think it's a great enough. I think it was thrown out there to keep us all off the track. You know, we're all hunting down what was the occult significance of the missing N, and meanwhile, you know, they've already made all the laws that have made everything we do illegal and have run off with all the money and everything. And
we're all, cha-ching. There you go.
Well, I wonder what it means with this missing N.
Don't mean shit.
Means it's a red herring, asshole.
It's a red herring, asshole. Slapped across your face.
Let's see if your blue dog can track this red herring.
While you went to the library to read books, we just fucked your mother for chocolate bars. That's what it's all about.
So deal with it.
So deal with it. Sorry.
11 years on, that's apparently the lesson of the moral of the story here. 9/11. deal with it.
We need to make pins that say that. I'm sure people will respond really well to it. I didn't remember all day. You know that high five where you put your hands up like you're like high five, and then you turn your hand to hit the other person's hand like, and then you just say 9/11 like it's an airplane crashing into a building. it's like, that's really in bad taste. But I had thought before that I was going to do that on 9/11, and then 9/11 came along and I forgot to do it. And now I'm at my house. The only person I can do it to is my girlfriend, you know, be like, high five, and then do it. But it's not as fun, you know. I want to do it to strangers, you know, be like, high five.
Did anyone see my Facebook status yesterday?
No, what was it?
Well, I had gotten this line from, I saw a trailer for a TV show or something. Basically, this guy, like, burst into a room where people are, like, at desks, like, working. And he's like, hey, it's September 10th. You know what tomorrow is. Party at my house.
All right, so let me ask you, did anyone notice I put up a thing after Crystal wished us a happy birthday for the sync book, and my friend Peter wished us a happy birthday for the sync book, and I was like, okay, I'm going to make an image for Facebook wishing the sync book a happy birthday. Did anybody notice? I couldn't tell if it was in really, really bad taste or not, but I couldn't resist doing it.
I can't tell if it is either.
It was cute.
It was cute, but that's what made it possibly in bad taste.
The little airplane?
The little airplane.
Yeah.
I mean, because it is. This, like we said, it commemorates the day and what we did and our initiation, and it's like right there. That's it, the whole thing in a sinkhole right there.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wait till the second birthday where we'll have two towers.
Wow. It's a melting candle.
Yeah, yeah. I actually had a superimposed over that rectangle with the candle. I had superimposed the burning tower, and I was like, "No, that's too much." I was like, "I'm just gonna leave that little airplane there, and if someone sees it and decides it's really bad taste, I'll deal with it."
Oh, God.
But I thought I liked the subtlety of it.
Yeah, I don't think it was very subtle, but it was kind of funny.
Hey, I don't want to get too literal on in this conversation here, but honestly, on that day when you first heard about the first plane crash, I throw it around the room. Where the fuck were you?
Alan and I were both sleeping, and I think we both were woken up by people, right?
I was woken by my mother, and Doug was woken by your mother-in-law, right?
That's right.
That must have been embarrassing to have your mothers walking in on you two in bed like that.
Well, it's okay. They were also together.
Never forget.
Well, I was in school, so.
I was in high school, yeah.
I was sleeping in my sister's living room.
I was in the loft of a barn, and my brother called me. I had a bed in a loft in a barn.
Sounds cozy. I like better than my sister's living room.
It was nice. I liked it. It was a nice space. But yeah, you know, it was like, what's on TV? Oh, there's a show happening and it's really intense. I don't know how you're missing it. It didn't feel real. It felt totally unreal. I think it's like everyone's adjusting to that kind of, you know.
Well, so the peculiarity for me is that I've always celebrated September 11th, but that's
okay.
It's my mother's birthday, and so we witnessed the
never TV forget
my mom's birthday.
What a bummer for your mom, dude. She probably had a whole party planned and everything, and
we still had it. Only the TVs were on, and wow. It was real.
We still had it. We just cried into our cake.
But then, like, a huge thing happened. Not a huge thing. Okay, so David Plait would say, I'm tripping out on this, that I had an aunt that killed herself, and I never knew the date, but I found out today it was September 11th, and that would have been, like, in 1992.
Jesus.
And so, like, this is, like, a seriously weird synchronicity for me, because
is this your mom's sister or your father's sister?
It's no, she was someone that my mother's brother married.
Okay, so this is your mom. So I was gonna say, like, because this is probably already weird that it was part of celebrating her birthday on the day her sister.
If she would have been like one of their
siblings, then I'm sure I would have known the date. But, you know, it's one of these situations where the aunt and the uncle were divorcing and they split up. Even though I was really close, I lived with them. You know, I worked at this guy's, my uncle's tire shop, and I lived with them for a little while. That I remember it being fall, but I don't remember it at all that, you know, that was the date. But I learned that today. So that was, it's like, wow.
Well, there's your old dead girl nugget.
Yeah.
So I just got a call from John Phil Ryan. Are you with us?
Can you hear me?
It's like a seance or something. Are you with us now, John?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now. I can hear you.
That's the missing spot on the Ouija board, the can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah, I have a funny Ouija board story.
Shoot.
I was asked by a magazine to write a song about Ouija boards. And so for the song, I had two friends operate the board while I recorded the proceedings. And we got, the message we got was just H-A over again. And we didn't really think of anything of it at the time. It was just like, who is H-A? Who is H-A? Instead of the divination. And then later on, like, I had done things to the board, like messed with the copyright symbol and stuff, like on the board, like drawn on the board, you know, in a kind of irreverent way. And then later on, I looked up the Ouija board in like Wikipedia or something, and like the actual copyright of the Parker Brothers board was like a big contested issue, and like the guy who actually invented its initials were H.A. or something.
Oh, shit. I had this experience where I was playing with a Ouija board while on ecstasy, and every time I touched the board, like literally, like it wasn't like crying, like I was upset, but like literally my tear ducts and my whatever it is in your nose, like there would be like snot and tears pouring down my face. And as soon as I let go of the board, it stopped. And I go, oh, okay, that's weird. And then like, so I was like, for like half an hour, I'm just, well, everyone else is playing. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm feeling better. I'll go over and I'll play again. As soon as I put my hands on the board, whoosh, like all this stuff just pouring out of my face. And this happened a few times. I was just like, I can't do this. It was like so fucking intense. So
that's so weird.
I have a friend who watched Girl Interrupted on ecstasy and ended up smashing all his guitars. He had like 5. He's had a really bad time. It's like, wow, getting pissed on MDMA. That's crazy.
Or maybe that movie was just really bad. It's like, I hate this movie.
So, John, did you watch the new video from Joe Alexander about the
Yeah, yeah, totally fascinating. Really.
So you're telling your Ouija story, I was thinking of the ha ha ha.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or you were contacting the Joker.
The Joker. Oh yeah, the joke. Well, it's funny because I related his findings to like a joke my son has been doing. So like green means stop. Like he knows what the traffic lights mean, but like he thinks it's really funny to say green means stop. You know, and then there's the whole green hexagon thing, and that Joe is finding in the observatory, which is kind of like a place that we visit all the time. So, and it made me think about like
that actual
like
observatory.
Yeah, the Griffith Observatory.
Wow.
Yeah, Griffith Park is like kind of the place we go to have fun.
You're in LA.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. Okay.
And then I kind of related it to like a green stop sign, like. stopping and going at the same time and kind of related that to time travel. You know, moving somewhere without moving somewhere.
Yeah, like in Dune.
Exactly.
Fold space.
Fold space. But it's funny that it kind of came out of like a joke of a, you know, 4-year-old boy.
Well, those dudes are in tune, man.
Yeah, they're just learning about everything.
But they got a direct line to the fine line. I mean, 4-year-old
dudes cannot
enter
heaven except as a child or whatever.
4-year-old dudes are just mainlining this shit, right?
Pretty much. Like he like likes watching Disney movies on YouTube because they're easy to boot and everything. But this is great. He'll call them his own names. Like his name for Snow White is the belly buttons. That's Dr. Freud, and his name for Peter Pan is House Movie. So.
You gotta call it like you see it, you know.
Okay. Yeah, a little bit. It's on YouTube. It's just up a window, so I think he just sees a house, and just that's how he knows how to call it out. Huh. But like Pan itself is you know, it's kind of a kitchen sink drama, you know, or where Captain Hook is really the father and all that.
Captain Howdy.
Captain Howdy. Wait a minute. Who is that? That's
the devil spirit in Exorcist who she's playing with in the attic.
Oh, right. The subliminal message.
The Babylonian god Pazuzu.
That's right. Let's not forget that.
Wait, so how come before when Violator said Kazuzu?
Pazuzu with a P. Come on, guys. You're pissing him off.
Oh, what is it, French now?
If you pronounce it, you're evoking it.
How
so,
many times
know.
Did I say it? 3 times, like Candyman.
I thought he got annoyed when you evoked him, and there was nothing for him to do when he just showed up. And was like, okay, what do you guys want? Oh, nothing. Oh, fuck you. That's when he gets annoyed when you pronounce it correct.
He does get invoked in Futurama.
You say it 3 times.
Professor Farnsworth has a huge gargoyle called Pazuzu, and he just says the name. Gargoyle comes down.
Yeah, the Ouija board, you're supposed to ask a question, and if you, like, make statements to it, it doesn't like it.
It's like playing Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Right. In the form of a question.
That is not in the form of a question.
It's like
who is Pazuzu?
All right, so now that we've got... So now that we have John on the line, I need to ask. I told the story earlier in the call is to say I literally found a red key to room 217 on the sidewalk, just walking down the street. There was a red door key for like a hotel door key. It was room 217, which of course it's 217 in the novel, not in the movie, but it's pretty intense and pretty literal. What do you guys make of that?
I'd say make a necklace out of it, first thing.
Well, I have to say, personally, every time I've made a major breakthrough with whatever it is that we think we break through,
an accident,
I have found a key on the street. And this has happened 3 times in my life, where I have gone out on a walk and looked down in the public sphere or whatever the square of my reality is, and I have found a key. They're just there whenever it seems like it all condenses into meaning. So I don't know what your key means right now, but I'm gathering what you're reporting. But the last time that I found a key, it was a double key for some sort of lock. It was a double lock for some sort of like a bicycle, you know, whatever they use to chain up their bicycles to protective measures. And it was just laying there in the middle of the street. And so I didn't keep it. I threw it to, I put it onto a light post on the corner of the street that I found it. But these fucking keys, they, for me personally, they pop up.
Yeah, it's like playing a bad video game. It's like
it is a bad video game. It's like the Goonies. Like, yeah.
Oh, and then go, like, if you look around this corner, here's a blue key, which you use for the blue door. It's like, it's crazy.
It is crazy because it's just there in the flesh. It's there. You can touch it. You pick the motherfucker up, and you're left with your thoughts. And it's a very intimate moment with the synchrosphere, for lack of a better word.
Well, so you know, Alan, in the Stanley Hotel, you know, that the Shining novel is based on Channel 32. Channel 42, excuse me. They play The Shining all day long.
Are you serious? There's an actual hotel where they play The Shining all day?
Yeah, the Stanley Hotel.
The hotel in Colorado, the Stanley Hotel that was based. Jim Carrey went there and stayed in room 217, and he, when they were filming Dumb and Dumber, and he couldn't stay in there for more than like 30 minutes. He had to leave.
Wow.
Not a goddamn thing.
And then he ends up as the hangman.
Far out, right, man.
So what we... That's fucked up. That is kind of fucked up. And why, do you know why they picked Channel 42? Aside for...
Well, they're obviously hip to it.
Obviously. Huh. So, Doug, I'm taking it you don't want me to mail this key to you.
You didn't keep the key, Alan, did you?
You didn't keep the key, did you?
Oh my God. Please tell me you didn't keep the key.
Get it out of the house. Get it out of the house.
Get rid of it. Make one wish, okay, with that key, but you better be careful.
Wish for more wishes.
I guess you're implying that I probably shouldn't have rubbed it against my genitalia and did all those things.
Oh, well, just kiss goodbye to
it's
it.
It's all over now.
I mean, we all like The Shining, man, but that's fucking next level.
I don't think anyone wants you to send them the key now.
I thought I was adding nostalgia to it.
Oh, fuck it. I'll still take it.
Is that what you call it?
That's awesome.
You know what? I should actually use this room key on a Ouija board. I should use it as the selector.
If you use the key, you'll get $1 million, but someone will die.
Yeah.
I don't know. At this point, probably the key needs to be some part of promotion package for SyncBook 2. Like, you get some signed book with a room 217 key as the bookmark.
Scavenger hunt.
So what is everybody writing about for SyncBook 2? Or should we not divulge previews?
And I would like to say that if you want to come on 42 Minutes and talk about your piece before the book comes out, we'd love to have as many of the authors of SyncBook 2 on so they can talk about their piece as a way to promote the book before it comes out. And then Will and I will read the pieces when we get the book, and we'll have you back on and talk about is then too.
Well, I mean, I could send you the pieces before you have them on. So even if the book's not out yet, you could.
That we could do it that way.
Yeah, this way you could actually discuss it.
Yeah, that would probably be good. And so when we read SyncBook, the first SyncBook, it was fun how it just happened. It was totally nonlinear, and it just. Some of the people we planned, some of the ones would arise. And so I read the book in a non-linear way, but really, you know, it was really syncy the way I ingested that thing, and I enjoyed it. So I look forward to doing that with the next one.
Well, I think you do run into the issue of rehashing the same territory. Like Alan had mentioned, I don't think we need to define synchronicity at this point unless you have like a real unique interpretation of it, which I guess maybe a lot of us do, but.
You motherfuckers better have a unique perspective on it, otherwise this book is gonna suck. unless there's actually some point in you actually writing something and then someone reading it.
I just copied and pasted like a section of Carl Jung's Synchronicity and a Causal Principle. I hope that works for you guys. I got like, you know, just like a good 10 pages of it, basically.
Yeah, that at least we, you know, it has, it's a, you know, it's the test of time.
I'm going to send you page 42 of the Cleveland phone book and then talk about how that relates to everything in the world.
Yeah, Alan, who gets page 42, man? Who gets page 42?
You know, 42 doesn't mean a damn thing to me, so I never think about that.
Blasphemy.
I love
blasphemer.
In book one, it's Jablonski.
What does it say on that magical page?
It says, "Let's read." We begin
You know what's interesting?
Wait.
I'm interrupting.
No. It says here, the red color of the sign and the bold stop. He says, the octagon being an eight-sided polygon harkens back to the infinity symbol. The red color of the sign and bold stop reminds us. It's talking about a stop sign, which John mentioned just a few minutes ago.
All right.
Sorry, go on. Doug.
Oh, I was going to say, I just learned about the 69 test.
You just learned about 69?
Where you read page 69 of your book, and that will or will not tell you about the end of the book.
Ah.
Our book has a letter E in a circle on page 69. Just throw that out there.
It's for ecstasy. For when Alan took the ecstasy and played Ouija.
The end of the book is ecstasy.
No, the E is for the end.
The E is backwards three in the whole spinner,
yeah.
And I just tried it with page 69 of Happy Creatures. It doesn't work.
I don't know if anyone's come up with this, but I was thinking about the Wii Three spinner today and how, like, if you write it out, spin three, it says spine. Maybe connect.
Well,
the kundalini is in three and a third spirals at the base of your spine. So that's a spin. Spin three.
33 vertebrae.
Ass and titties.
That just connects to everything?
Justin, it's been fun.
Yes, indeed. I'll talk to you guys more soon.
All right, man.
Oh. Ass and titties. Adios.
This ass and titties makes everyone want to go.
Yeah, for real.
Shit, dude. No?
Bye.
Don't ship or eat, I guess.
Did anyone see the post by Joshua John Sebastian? That Australian, or where the fuck he's from, the ABC Gematria guy. Anyone out there?
No.
Where he added
math is hard. You just quoted a Barbie doll.
Exactly. A Malibu Stacy doll.
Oh, is it Malibu Stacy?
Yeah, and then Lisa makes up with Malibu Stacy and puts the illuminated pyramid.
No, wait, because that's actually based on, that was a real Barbie doll. True. That was a real Barbie doll.
I think this is not good.
Malibu.
I don't know.
Really? I thought that was just a Simpsons thing.
Take the top.
Right, so there was a real thing with a real Barbie doll, and they spoofed it on The Simpsons.
Okay.
As they are wont to do. Sorry.
Okay, go ahead.
Doug, Jason, I see you have to run. Have a great night.
Yes, Alan, thanks for chatting. Thanks for inviting us. It was fun.
Yes, indeed. Good talk to you both. And again, before you go, saying, I hope if you get some value out of this tarot blog, Book of Stars type thing, it was, as Jason said earlier, it was to sort of get that ball rolling and get that conversation started. So I hope you get something out of it.
Well, I think, I mean, you were right. Shelving it was the right move. And then I'll throw it out there for everyone else. The idea of the unknown unknowns is very much alive as a place to put oddball stuff that doesn't have any other place to go. And I'm going to, after the September 15th deadline comes and goes, then I will begin again on this project. And so we'll have some sort of quarterly published by Sync Book Press where short fiction or testimonials or Ouija shit or any weirdness that there doesn't have any home to go to where you want to put art or whatever. It's going to have a home. That's what I'm saying. It'll be cool. So thanks. We'll talk to you guys all again.
Okay. Later on, Doug.
Tracy White Boys.
You will.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so now we got some hardcore shiny people on the line. What did you just write here, Will? This is a lot of text.
This and is from that guy.
Reading is difficult.
This is that guy, Joshua John Sebastian. And he's the guy who put that post about all his work he's done on the English alphabet gematria, okay? And he did that whole post, and there was some back and forth with Ezra Zera about, you know, this is sort of amateur or, you know, grade school. There was some sense that what he was doing is very basic. But it was one of those sort of everyone's eyes are wide shut. They're not seeing what is sort of obvious or right in front of you. So this is his latest posting about English alphabet gematria as opposed when you incorporate it into The Shining. So right there he says overlook equals 113 equals The Shining. So if you add up all the letter values of the overlook and The Shining, it equals 113.
Assuming and that then, A is 1 and B is 2, etc.
Exactly. Just very straightforward, very kind of, it's something that no one ever do because it just seems sort of basic. But in this post, he adds up a shitload of stuff. Larry Durkin equals 151 equals Jesus Christ. I mean, that's some heavy shit. I mean, I haven't done the math, but he's saying it's right there, right? And he goes on, and this cat is he's swimming in some deep shit, and I don't know if this guy's getting the backup that he deserves, you know what I mean?
So, say again, who is this?
This is Joshua John Sebastian Routledge. He's a part of the Kitchen Sink
crew. Yeah, okay.
And his whole thing is the English alphabet gematria. And he has put out a couple of reportings that have been just outstanding. I mean, and like I say, I hesitate to bare my ass in public because I haven't done the simple mathematical translation to see if he's bullshitting me or not. But this last thing he put out is just kind of, I mean, it incorporates a lot of backwash, a lot of stuff that everyone knows, but there's a lot of stuff inside his system that is very, very provocative, to say the least. I was just wondering if anyone had seen it. like Kubrick equals 75 equals doctor. If the English alphabet gematria is there, I mean, that's some shit. And then, like I said, read it. It's crazy. It's there's a lot of good work going on there.
Cool. Down.
I'm totally down.
Yeah.
I think, isn't he in Sync Book 2, Alan?
No, not that I'm aware. Definitely not in Sync Book 2, but there is a guy, I'm not I don't know, people use so many, like, different names, especially on Facebook, that I don't know how to answer that question, actually.
Like, Charles equals 66 equals Delbert.
Cool.
A definite twinning of numbers referring to the dual nature of the Grady's. Grady equals 55, so both names add up to 121. Lots of shit, man. Lots of shit. But in a blind spot of obvious awareness, I mean, just sitting there for anybody to interpret.
So if Kubrick equals doctor, that's interesting because you have like, what's up, Doc? And you have Dr. Bill and all that sort of stuff. But then there's also, even though in The Shining he's called Doc, in the Stephen King sequel book, it's going to be Dr. Sleep, right? Where he goes from being Doc to a full doctor.
Yeah, what's the sequel called again?
Dr. Sleep.
I mean, what's the sequel itself called?
Are we saying who's on first?
No. Oh, that is what it's called. I thought you were saying that's what the main character was called.
No, that's the name of the book is going to be called Dr. Sleep.
Oh, Dr. Sleep. Cool.
I was like, that is what it's called.
No, yeah, Dr. Sleep's on second.
It grows up to be.
Okay. Cool. Alright.
So, Viler, you said you would
Kubrick's own father was a doctor.
Oh, really?
That's right.
Danny's called Doc.
Well, I was saying, yeah, he's Doc, but then in the sequel, he's getting a sort of promoted to a full doctor. If the title of the second book is Dr. Sweet, that was what I was saying. It's like, in the movie, he's Doc, but in the sequel book, he's going to be Doctor. I don't know. I just thought that was interesting. You've actually, when you lived in Colorado, had you gone to the... I know I heard you... I saw a conversation you were having with... Will Morgan, that might have been on 42 Minutes or something, where you were talking about when you were both in Colorado, talking about the hotel.
I had gone there, and we had signed up, my parents and I had signed up to go to a seance on October 31st and stay in the hotel in room 432 or something, which has ghost kids in it. So if you bring toys, they like move the toys around, like if you have cars or you know a rubber ball or something. And you can hear him, like, running around the room. And unfortunately, my dad had a really bad car accident, and like, just, like, at the beginning of October, middle of October, so we did not get to actually do that, which was disappointing. But I was going to say, oh, yeah, so I walked around the hotel. I didn't do the tour, but my parents showed me because they had been there before, and we stood outside 217, and... There's a little part, there's like you go upstairs and there's a hallway and then there's this little extra hallway that goes off to the side to like a door to the outside or something. And that spot is supposed to be haunted because someone died there or something like that. There's a wedding going on, so we couldn't do too much that day, but it's a nice hotel. I don't know. I'd like to stay there someday. Anyone hear me? Hello? Is this thing on?
Yeah, no, I'm okay.
I just flew in, and boy, my arm's tired.
Yeah. The dad's okay.
I'm just, like, looking at Dr. Sleep on Wikipedia right now. I don't know. I can't read Stephen King, man. Like, I lose interest. I have a hard time reading him. I mean, I read novels and stuff. I can't get down with, like, 1,000 pages sometimes of what he's doing. I don't know.
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, it's not. I understand. Yeah, I there was a point in my life where I could do it, and I kind of really grew out of it really fast. It's like all right, you just spent 400 pages talking about, like, some werewolf or something, and I just don't care.
Yeah.
I'm the type, like, I could read stereo instructions kind of thing, my thought pattern. Like, I'll read Manly P. Hall's Secret Teachings of All Ages before I pick up, like, a random novel to read. I have The Hobbit sitting here, but I'm only, like, halfway through that, and I'm trying to read Christopher Knowles' Gods Wear Spandex. I'm, like, halfway through that. I got a bunch of, like, half-finished books laying around.
Who's that?
Who, what?
Gods Wear Spandex.
Oh, sorry. Is his name verboten here, or what?
No, not at all. It's just funny. No, because... We were going to do a breakdown of some of his material last week, and then we didn't get a chance to. So,
because you know what, Christopher Knowles wears spandex, and I mean that with the highest respect. That motherfucker has put out more content than, I mean, my God,
it's very
prolific. Who has put out more consistent and better content than that guy? That's the guy, right?
Yeah, he's, I haven't updated my blog in like 2 years, and this guy writes a huge he writes huge things like every day.
He's huge.
Yeah,
the time is a valuable thing,
but I mean, time, fuck,
and energy,
time. Fuck energy.
Well, time is part of it, and energy is a part of it.
It's just fucking willpower with that guy.
He's definitely a writer.
The thing about time I like is, I wrote a little thing for The Quietus that, on The Shining, and in the comments, you know, it was like the Hall of Fame of like typical comments about, you know, sinking or whatever. Like, this guy has too much time on his hands. I love that concept. Like,
I fucking wish I had too much time on my hands.
Like, everyone has the same amount of time.
Well, yeah, sometimes
not according to Einstein. It's all relative.
It's relative.
John, was that you with the time on his hands comment?
Yeah,
that's the thing that just absolutely burns my ass. Is that's such a stock comment to this kind of research, is that, you know, Hank on Breaking Bad, he's got too much time on his hands. Sherlock Holmes, he's got too much time on his hands.
Sherlock Holmes has too much time on his hands?
Joseph Campbell. Campbell, he's got too much time on his hands.
Oh, I thought Joseph Campbell said
that. Yeah, I was like, Joseph Campbell was talking some shit about Sherlock Holmes? I don't know that.
That's the shit that burns my ass more than anything, is okay. That if you get into something that demands your attention, you make time for that shit. You make time for that shit. You sacrifice time for that shit. And then it becomes study. And that's the whole role of the shaman, is that you're outside of society, that you take on a project that does not demand life or death. You know, you invest your energy into something that the structure of the machine affords. And too much time on your hands, it's just like, I want to just, there's nothing in this universe that destroys me more than that shit. Because these are the motherfuckers who have fantasy football teams.
Oh, that's funny.
They know everything about reality Tv.
Well, that's funny because my day job, or night job rather, is moderating like the Twitter feed for the Madden video game. And the big controversy this year, and just this week, it just came out, is that they got rid of fantasy football. And like, these dudes are going crazy. No fantasy! No fantasy!
It's funny because the fantasy in the first place.
And there was one comment I really liked. It was like, I just wish one day you guys would get it together and make a real sim. So sometimes these commenters are by accident come up with these kind of poetic things, like too much time on your hands. It's great because it's like the researcher is stealing time, you know, it's like hoarding time.
I don't know though. If you never take time,
how can you ever have time?
Zeus's battle against Kronos, you know, Doc Brown's battle against the clock, you know, or the hook. Captain Hook's battle against the crocodile.
I don't know. When I give my whole self over to the process of producing like a piece, whatever it is, whether it's art or whether it's writing or whatever, you know, it's like I have to like have like I get in my flow and I don't want to stop. And so I'll go fucking completely manic. And if I'm in my own zone, it's fine. But if I do that like all the time, like I get I don't know. I get imbalanced, you know, like, but it's good when I, you know, do get to do that, you know. I don't know if you guys can relate, but yeah, I'll be fucking up all night for fucking multiple nights until I get it done, you know. It's like,
and isn't that how real art should be though? Like, there are posts, I'll do posts that are like, okay, I just want to document this, you know. It's sort of like just keeping a tab on something, and it's time consuming, but it's not the same thing. It's like, oh fuck, this is taking too long, but okay, I just got to get this out. Then there's the other thing where, yeah, you forget to get up and piss for 48 hours because you're just so transfixed in what you're doing, and then when you're done, you're like, holy shit, I can't believe I made that.
Everything on my blog started that way. I think one of my more seminal ones of the Land of the Dead one, you know, to just promote myself here, if you want to check out my blog, it's thecgimportant.blogspot.com. It starts off with, I'm just going to get this out of my head real quick, and it turns into something that takes an hour to read. And it probably took like 4 hours.
What just happened? Did we cut out? Hello?
Unfortunately, we did get cut off. I wasn't able to get back online. I honestly don't know what happened. I don't know if it was too many people on the call or what happened, but I'm not able to get back onto the internet. So I wasn't able to get back onto the call. I was the one recording it. So for those listening along, you're in the same situation as me. That's where it ends for us, I'm sorry to say. However, we will be back this Thursday. Violator will be back along with Frank Zero and Trevor from Project PsyCube. So this Thursday, you know, all things, assuming that I'm able to get my internet running again, we'll be back with Always Record and Project PsyCube. I really look forward to it. Thanks a lot. Be well. Well, it's all.
Someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring. Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well, it's all right, as long as you got so much to lay. Well, somewhere down the road when somebody plays the purple haze. Well, it's all right, even when push comes to shove. Well, it's all right, if you got someone to love. Well, it's all right, everything will work out fine. Well, it's all right, we're going to the end of the line. just glad to be here, happy to feel that. And it don't matter if you're by my side, I'm satisfied. Well, it's all.